Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:02 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is February 24th. Rather interesting day today with a little bit of pressure being taken off the market with Chairman Bernanke testifying that they're going to leave interest rates low for an extended period because the tentative recovery that has taken hold is still relatively weak. That's not particularly surprising. And it gives further light to the fact that the quarter point rise in the deposit rate last week was really more of a focus on attempting to get the banks to wean the banks off of the excess liquidity and rely more on the interbank market. As a result, you have the Dow and the S&P both up just under 1%, and the Nasdaq up just over 1%. In Europe, the majority of indices closed up on the day, but none very much more than about half of 1%, and a couple were actually down on the day. Spain being one of the main laggards. In Asia this morning, you had the Nikkei down 1.5%, same with the ASX, and the Hang Seng was down by about 0.75%. So we remained in this delicate area for global stock markets. In other markets today, oil was really quite firm. It was up just over a dollar, which almost completely countermanded the decline that we saw yesterday. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about oil in a moment. The precious metals were a bit softer here today, with gold pulling back below the 1100 level. Silver was relatively unchanged on the day. Palladium was down by $12, now at 423, and platinum was down slightly, coming back to test this 1500 level. It did fall below it at one point today, but rallied back above it for the close. In the currency markets, the dollar was a little bit weaker against the euro and a little bit stronger against the pound. Against the US, or the Australian dollar and the Canadian was and the Canadian dollar were both a little bit firmer in here today. And in the bond markets, gilts were firmer by almost a full point again in here today. And this is 3 days on the trot where you've had really quite large moves in the gilt market. Now, I suspect that there was a contract change, and that's going to show up on the chart as a little bit of a gap. But if you look at the 10-year yield, it has pulled back rather sharply in the last 3 days, which does suggest that it has encountered a little bit of resistance up here, and it looks increasingly likely that we're going to see some further messing around this 4% area. When we look at the energy market, oil has had three remarkably persistent and fast rallies from the lower side of its ranging uptrend to the upper side, and we remain in one of those very sharp advances. It's moved up approximately $10 in about 12 days, and yesterday was the first down day in a while. And when you look at that weekly chart, it shows that oil has been rallying really quite quickly from the lower side and then coming down rather slowly from the upper side of the range. And the other consistency there is that it's been unable to sustain upward breaks, but it has sustained the progression of higher reaction lows. And this is action that is very consistent with the same type of action we saw back in 2005 and 2006, when oil was building up over a number of years to a major advance. And the type of action that we're seeing does suggest that oil is in an accumulation, or that demand retains the dominant feature in this market. And it really would need to take out the progression of higher reaction lows to question that. Natural gas, on the other hand, has been weaker rather sharply over the last couple of weeks. And when we look at that ratio of oil to natural gas again is beginning to cheapen relative to the oil price, and it is a relatively well-defined trend over the last few years where oil has outperformed in no uncertain terms. And of course, with the fact that natural gas is comparatively cheaper relative to oil and continues in this relatively lengthy trend downwards against oil, that does make it a more appealing fuel source. And with the new supply coming online from shale gas in particular, it really does look like natural gas is not only a viable fossil fuel, but it really is the chief of the green energies. Certainly not a renewable energy, but it is far less polluting than oil or particularly coal. So the LNG market really does look like it's in a bull phase in this environment. When we go back and look at the stock markets, we've seen a large number of stock markets bouncing from their 200-day moving averages, and a number of them have pulled back rather sharply to do that. So we've lost quite a few of the consistency characteristics that have been evident over the last year, and they really do need to hold above their most recent reaction lows, which were put in over the last couple of weeks, over the last 3 weeks, I think would be more accurate. And provided that remains the case, then the benefit of the doubt can continue to be given to the ranging uptrend over the medium term, particularly when you look at the longer term charts or 5 years and upwards. My preferences are for a weekly chart. You'll see that we've had a very, very good run over the last year. So there is an argument to say that some of these markets have earned a rest. And we've given a 40% chance that they'll be able to sustain upward breaks, and a 40% chance that they'll spend a good long time messing around this area in a ranging, inert fashion, zombie-like, and only a 20% chance that we're going to see them sustain moves below those 200-day moving averages and retrace a larger part of the advances we've seen over the last year. And the second of those, I think, remains what we're seeing right now, where we've had a number of these markets finding support above the 200-day moving average and not having gone very far. So we haven't seen very many markets sustaining breaks to new highs, and those that we have are not really large cap internationally traded or internationally liquid markets. They've been the more esoteric ones, such as Tunisia, or commodity-led ones such as Chile, which continues to remain in the region of the high that it posted in the last month or so. So the environment, while remaining to a certain degree uncertain, we haven't had any critical damage done to the uptrends that have been evident for well over a year in some of these better performing markets. And provided we see the majority of these indices finding support in the region of their 200-day moving averages, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to that ranging upside over the medium term. We're probably not going to see a major reassertion of these medium-term uptrends until we see a meaningful weakening of the US dollar. And that isn't something that is looking particularly likely right now, particularly when we look at something like the euro or indeed the pound, where the dollar continues to trend lower. Now, it's the euro has lost downward momentum, sorry, the where the pound continues to trend higher. The euro has lost downward momentum against the pound and has come back and tested the $1.35 area again in here today. But it really does need to move above the $1.38 area to suggest that anything other that anything that's occurring here is something other than the than a distribution in this downtrend. U.S. Treasury bonds remain in the area of 118 as I speak, just a little bit lower than that, and they've been in this ranging consolidation or this lengthy ranging phase for about 6 or 7 months at this point. And the debate rages as to whether we're going to see the inflationary or deflationary environment prevail. And the reality is that it's just too early to make that call. But the chart action does suggest that the 2% low down on the 10-year yield probably was the low for the decline, and the open question now remains as to how long the base building is going to take, and we will certainly take our lead from the charts. But when we take the perspective of a judge at an international beauty contest, we have to think more about where we want to put money for the long term, and with that in mind, do we really need to essentially take the risk on getting the inflation deflation call right? Or do we want to invest in countries where this question isn't particularly being asked at all, where governments are reasonably well funded, where they're running trade surpluses, and if there is the need for further stimulus packages, that they will be able to afford them? And those countries are concentrated primarily in the commodity producers and in the emerging Asian and Latin American countries. So that is, I think, a sound argument for where risk is least evident in today's market, in the absence of another. Of course, they are also higher beta. They are smaller capital markets, so they are more prone to money flying around when you have a deleterious environment in on Wall Street due to the, and we call that the Wall Street leash effect. But by and large, this is where risk is least evident, and particularly from a fixed income standpoint, the risk of a sovereign default in an emerging market that is well capitalized is considerably less than some of the weaker European economies. And the CDS spreads, and we have a large number of those in the chart library, bear that fact out. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.